Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
We have a theme that Dr. Spomer and I have been working with you throughout the year, Shine. In 2019, no one on earth has ever shined more than Jesus Christ of Nazareth. All Old Testament history points to Jesus. All history as we know it is split in two by the light that shined that first Christmas so long ago. The first 39 books of the Bible predict Jesus. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, reveal Jesus. The epistles explain Jesus. And it is the Christian church abroad that embodies Jesus. And here tonight, we celebrate him. Now, over the last 4 weeks, Dr. Spomer and I have been leading all of you through what some of you will call as Holy Week. 4 weeks ago, it all began with Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, we know as Palm Sunday. The next week, we looked at the celebration with Jesus and his disciples, known as the Passover meal, that meal of remembrance, a very sacred meal. And that night, Jesus introduces a very sacred new covenant meal that he wants his people to remember often, called the Lord's Supper. Then we looked at the trials of Jesus, precisely 8 trials. Maybe you don't remember them, but the first was trial with the high priest Annas. Jesus found guilty. Caiaphas, second one, found guilty. Third one, the Sanhedrin. He was found guilty. Then he was brought before Pilate, found innocent. Brought before Herod, found innocent. Brought back before Pilate, found innocent. 6th trial. Number 7, Pontius Pilate turned it over to the jury. And made it a jury trial. And you know what the jury came back with? Guilty. But none of those counted. None of those trials meant anything. The most important trial was number 8. Where God Almighty, the Heavenly Father, the judge of all judges, pronounced Jesus guilty. That was the only trial that counted. You see, God the Father made him who knew no sin, sin, so that we in him could become the righteousness of God. Last week, Dr. Spomer spoke to you about lights out, the last words of Jesus Christ on the cross. Have you ever thought about what your last words might be? What would be your last words if you knew you were going to die? Now, at our Savior, not here because Dr. Spomer brought you the message, I shared some last words of famous people. I remember one, Frank Sinatra. You remember? He's the one I did it my way. You know what his last words were? I'm losing. You know what the last words, or some of the last words of Muhammad before he died? Expel the Jews. You know what some of his followers say, their very last words, when they explode themselves by a bomb strapped to their bodies? Allah Akbar. Allah is the greatest. Well, if he is, why are you defending him? Why are you doing this? The 7 last words of Jesus. You know what the first one was? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Forgive who? You and me. We don't know what we're doing when we sin. Sometimes we do, but it's against him, as Dr. Spomer so clearly stated tonight. The second words, today you'll be with me in paradise. Both first words were good news. Two thieves, both deserving death. One mocked Jesus, the other said, do you not know who you're talking to? He's innocent. He saw Jesus as he was, God Almighty on earth, dying. Because he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. The third words of Jesus from the cross teach us how to live. He didn't say, mother, your son. He said, woman, your son. Son, your mother. Jesus taught us that everybody we see, everybody we act with in life, we should honor and respect them like we do a brother, a sister, a mom, a dad. Meaning parents, every child you see is your child. Every man, woman you see is a brother and sister, and we should take care of them and be concerned about them. The fourth word of Jesus from the cross. My God, not dad, dad, or Abba, Abba. My God, why have you forsaken me? Have you ever thought about that? Why he said that? Two reasons. Number one, so you know he was forsaken. That the Father, God Almighty, did forsake the Son. The second reason is so you could answer that question yourself. Because if you're a Christian and you're here tonight and you claim to be a Christian, you better know the answer to that question. Why did the Father forsake the Son? As the famous preacher Spurgeon says, he was forsaken so we wouldn't have to be. Let me tell you what separates Christianity from any other religion on earth. That answer. Why was Jesus forsaken? So you wouldn't have to be. He was forsaken for you. Turn to the person next to you and say, he's talking about you now. Yeah. Yeah. The fifth, last word of Jesus on the cross. I'm thirsty. We see the humanity of it all. He asked for a drink. Why? Because the next words out of his mouth, he said, the Bible says, with a great voice. The sixth words from Jesus, it is finished. What was finished? Sacrifice. The sins of the world. It is finished. God Almighty dying for sinful people. And the last words out of Jesus' mouth teach us how to die. Father, now he doesn't say God, he says Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. You see, when you die, you got to trust the Father. And Jesus, let's go and trust the Father with his life, with his spirit, not his body, his spirit that went to the Father. Wow. Now, after Jesus died, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, two men, none of the disciples, two men who were kind of secret followers of Jesus, came and took the body down after they asked Pilate. And they laid him in a freshly cut out tomb away in a manger. If you ever go to Bethlehem today, they'll show you a manger. You know what a manger is? A stone cut out. When he was born, he was laid in a manger, cut stone. When he died, he was laid in a freshly cut tomb that no one else ever laid in. He was dead on Friday. He was dead on the Sabbath. And on Sunday, he was dead. But early in the morning, something happened that woke everybody up in Jerusalem. Now, I said, woke them up. I say that physically, and for some people, it was a spiritual awakening. Let's take a look at that. Would you open your Bibles with me now to Matthew 28? And just follow along. Please, open up that Bible. Let's look at it. Read this greatest story, historical event ever recorded in the history of mankind and found in all four Gospels. Matthew 28, verse 1. Now, after this Sabbath, towards the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. Now, notice how Matthew records, not a little earthquake. I mean, he says, a great earthquake. Have you ever felt an earthquake? Raise your hand. Wow. A great earthquake would wake you out of a dead sleep. Everybody, I'm sure, felt this earthquake. And 3 days earlier, after Jesus breathed his last and said, Father, into your hands, I commit my spirit. And you know what happened? An earthquake. If you look on verse 51, if you're in the Bible, up on top to the left, it says, and the earth shook. Folks, that's not just Jerusalem. That's not just Judea and Samaria. The earth shook because the creator of heaven and earth just died. And now a great earthquake takes place. Why? Because he just awoke. Wow. Mary Magdalene. And Mary went to the tomb, and behold, a great earthquake. Verse 2, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. You ever think about that? How do you picture that? I'm twiddling my thumbs. I doubt that. He sat on the stone. Wow, how neat is that? A little thing we learn about the resurrection. Now think about it. Mary and Mary Magdalene, two women. Now from the other gospels we learn, Joanna was there, Salome was there. It is believed 5 to 6 women went to the tomb. Matthew records 2 of them. Now, let me tell you something. Women at this time, their witness did not count. They could not stand up in a court of law and bear witness to anything. It would not count. If you were going to tell a story about a great prophet who rose from the dead, you would never have a make-believe story with women. You would put men in there because their witness would count. We see how true the Gospels are. It is women who go to the tomb who see the resurrection or experience it firsthand. Have you ever wondered why? Why not disciples? Why not Peter, James, and John running to the tomb and it's empty? Do you know the answer? I don't. But let me tell you what I think. Because it was a woman who first sinned and ushered in death. And God gave the privilege and the right to women to experience firsthand salvation and the resurrection and to be the first to tell the good news. Wow. Isn't that awesome how great our God is? His appearance, verse 3, was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. It brings us right back to the transfiguration. When Jesus was transformed, metamorphosized before the disciples, they saw his divinity. Here is somebody from heaven, not the Son of God, an angel from heaven, and he's like lightning, and his clothing like snow. Verse 4, and for fear of him, of that angel, the guards trembled and became like dead men. Now, how ironic is this? Here are guards guarding a dead man. And the dead man has risen, and they are now like dead men. Wow. It's just something. But the angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified." Notice this. Theology of the cross. And the next thing you hear is the theology of the resurrection or theology of glory. "He is not here. He is risen as he said. Come see the place where they lay him." You can't have the theology of glory, the resurrection, without the theology of the cross. You can't have the theology of the cross without the theology of glory. You can't have the Old Testament without the New Testament. You can't have the New Testament without the Old Testament. It all comes together in Jesus. Life, death, and resurrection. Wow. He's not here. Come see the place where he lay. 7. Now notice this. "Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead." The first evangelists, the first missionaries, the first to carry the good news, those ladies. "And behold, he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." You know, when you experience the resurrection, when you come to know Jesus Christ as the risen Lord and Savior of your life, you can't help but go and tell. You got to tell somebody when it's good news. That's what makes it so good. So they departed. Notice, they didn't, "Oh, well, I guess we'll go do that." So they departed, verse 8, quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. Have you ever been perplexed by fear and joy? Have you ever go, "Wow, that's the whole scariest thing, the best thing that has ever happened to me"? Wow. "And ran." Okay, they didn't crawl, they didn't walk, they ran. Have you ever ran to somebody to tell them about Jesus? You know, that shows passion, drive, excitement. They were elated. "And behold, Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings.'" Imagine that. Wow, I'm sure it was almost like a rabbit talking. They were just, "What? This is unbelievable." "And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him." Took hold of his feet. Don't let anybody ever tell you Jesus just rose spiritually. He rose in a physical body. They touched him. They held him. They worshiped him. Jesus was no angel. He was the Son of God. Angels are not worshiped. Only God is worshiped. They touched him and they worshiped him. In a few moments from now, you'll be able to touch, taste, and worship. "And behold, Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings.' And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid.'" Isn't that something? Don't be afraid. He says this about death. Don't be afraid. He says this about life. Don't be afraid. "Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Wow. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. I hope and pray that you'll go home and read Mark's account, Luke's account, and John's account. What do we learn from all of this? We learn this Holy Week. We learn that Jesus was who he said he was and did what he said he was going to do. He was God Almighty on earth, and he died. That is, God Almighty died and paid the price for sinful mankind. For you, and for me. The only sacrifice that would be sufficient to cover our sin and the sins of the world would be a divine sacrifice. You see, in all other religions, you die for God to make things right. In Christianity, God Almighty dies for you because he loves you that much. You're his favorite. Now, they bribed, you're going to learn, the guards to lie about this event. Paul later on says, now listen, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, in 2 Corinthians, he says, then our faith is in vain. Guess what, folks? Our faith is not in vain. He goes on and later and says, because he rose from the dead, you shall too. That is our hope. That is our faith. That is why we celebrate Easter. It is a miracle, as Dr. Spomer proclaimed earlier. Listen, Jesus showed himself to over 500 people over a 40-day period. We have the eyewitness accounts of this resurrection, not only with those ladies, but with Matthew, with Mark, and we have an eyewitness account with John. Now, Luke, in his day, was the Sherlock Holmes. He gathered all the evidence together and gave a report to his Dr. Watson, Theophilus, and he wrote two books. Wow. Did you hear the one about Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson? They went camping one night and, you know, they built a fire and pitched a tent. When it came time for to bed down, they put their sleeping bags under the tent and went to sleep. In the middle of the night, Sherlock Holmes says, Dr. Watson, Dr. Watson. Dr. Watson says, what, Sherlock? He says, open your eyes. What do you see? And he opened his eyes and he said, I see hundreds of stars. Why? He goes, no, Dr. Watson. What do you see? He says, well, possibly thousands of stars. And what do you see, Watson? He said, well, okay, I see a haze up there, so that's the Milky Way, and there's probably so many stars and planets and universes that I can't even imagine how many. He says, no, Dr. Watson. And he says, Sherlock Holmes, what do you see? He says, it's elementary, my dear Watson. Somebody has stolen our tent. There are people who can look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ and they can say, you know, hundreds were affected those first few days or 40 days. Soon, a little bit later, Pentecost, thousands. And if you take the history of the world from Genesis to Revelation, you could say millions have been, are today, and someday will be affected by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But that's not what makes us who we are. That's not what we should be looking at today. You see, it's elementary, my dear Watsons. This is the elementary message. You ready? He is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. Would you bow your heads with me for a word of prayer? Father in heaven, I know it's kind of difficult to get into the Easter mood in October, but here we are. We're celebrating because every Sunday morning should be a little celebration of Easter for each and every one of us. Every funeral should be a celebration of the resurrection and the life, which is Jesus himself. Today is your day. It is the Sabbath. We remember you and we thank you that once again we can look at the basic elementary message from angels to women, women to the disciples, and from the disciples to the ends of the earth. And that elementary message for us is He is risen. And because He lives, we shall live. We thank You for that hope, that faith that no other religion on earth has. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.